produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. Thank you for being a part of the radio show. And today I just want to let you know that you are loved. In case you have forgotten, in case you feel like no one cares, I want you to know that there is a God in heaven who sees you, who loves you, and who knows exactly where you are. And I pray that as you tune into this station today, that you will know that it's not by accident that you came across this. You are here designated by God because He wants you to know and feel confident that you are His and you are loved. So thanks for joining today. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am the host of the Mommy Meltdown. We've been going through a study called Sparkle and Shine. It was a book that I wrote several years back, and we're going back through this book, applying it into our lives as mothers, moms who need to sparkle and shine, moms who need to shine their light in their homes first and love their children, and how so often we get distracted trying to shine our lights for social media and trying to shine our lights for the community and shining our lights for churches and kind of everywhere else, so that when we get home, our lights are kind of dull and burned out and tired. And sometimes our family gets the worst part of us. And so this is just a reminder to just sparkle and shine for our families. And today we're going into chapter 10, and chapter 10 is a very personal time for me in my life. It's kind of one of those times where we feel kind of raw sharing it. But It was a time where I went through a very, I guess you could say, a funk in my life. I was kind of in a fog where I just felt sad and moody, tired a lot. And my son was 3, and I just felt like all I did was snap at him, and I didn't enjoy my motherhood journey during that season of life. And I couldn't understand what was wrong with me, and that bothered me even more. Looking back now, I think maybe I was going through maybe a slight depression. And, you know, as Christian women, we're not supposed to be depressed or things like that. And so I tried to ignore it, but the more I ignored it, the worse things got. And honestly, I just didn't know what to do. And one day I was just having this, an examination of my heart, I guess you could say. And what I saw, I just didn't like. I didn't like who I'd become. I used to be very carefree and happy and by no means perfect, don't get me wrong, but I never really gone through this dark season, and I didn't like it. I didn't want to be there, and I wanted to get out of it, but it was like the more I tried to get out of it, the more it felt like it was caving in on me. And so I began to do all the things I knew to do to get out of this. I would, I would just try to fix it. I was trying to self-help, I guess. And I began to read my Bible and pray and just do all the things that I was supposed to do as a Christian, but nothing was working. And I felt alone. I felt like I didn't care. I felt like I had been abandoned. I knew I was still saved. I never questioned my salvation. I just couldn't understand why someone who was faithfully reading their Bible, someone who was faithfully praying, someone who was consistently going to church would go through these questionable times. I couldn't understand it, couldn't put my finger around it, and it got very frustrating. And during that time, I had actually just released my first book, Pink, People in Need of Kindness, and I was actually in the midst of writing this book, Sparkle and Shine, and all of a sudden, I had no words. I couldn't speak anymore. And I think that hurt more than anything was being someone who loved to use words to glorify the Lord, all of a sudden had no words. And then that just kind of hit even harder. I felt like I was a water fountain who had no water, and therefore I was all dried up and I had no purpose. And so kind of all these thoughts and all these things came crashing in around the same time. And so all I knew to do was just to continue to be faithful to the Lord in Bible reading and in prayer. But during this time, I'm going to share the things that I consistently did that allowed me to get to the other side. But the key, the piece of the puzzle that brought it all together. So I know I'm not alone in this. I know that with women, our emotions, our hormones, being exhausted, having times of rejection in our life and having times of insecurities, all of these things weigh heavy on us. And there's times when we just feel like we're defeated. We feel defeated spiritually, emotionally, and we're empty. And the mind is such a huge role in everything that makes us up. And so a lot of times we just focus on all of our spiritualness, but we don't focus on our mental health. And we need to remember that our mind is where it all starts. It's in our mind. During this time when I felt so alone and felt so frustrated, it was a time where I had to just completely turn to the Lord and turn to Him and just really find out who I was and find out His faithfulness and find His greatness in all of it. So the first thing I did that I want to share was that I began to just honestly cling to God. I cling to Him with everything I had. I ran to Him. And so often we don't run to Him when we have these problems. We kind of get mad at Him or frustrated, or we don't feel like He's there. So we just give up and say, okay, well, since you're not there, then I'm not going to even go to you. And we get mad at Him. But the thing is we have to remember that He's there. We can never mistake being forsaken by God with waiting on God. And sometimes that's what we do. We wait on God and we don't hear Him. We don't hear His response. So therefore, we feel like He's left us. He's abandoned us, because that's what we've experienced in our life with other people. We have experienced being forsaken. We've experienced being rejected. And so we feel like, okay, God's not answering. God's not here. I don't feel Him. I don't see Him. So God's abandoned me. But God does not abandon us. He's right there, working behind the scenes, and we just have to trust in Him and remember He's trustworthy and remember He is faithful. And I heard this maybe in a movie, this great example of when times God is silent and we can't feel Him working in the midst. And that's the example of a teacher. When a teacher is giving a test, that is a time when a teacher is silent. The teacher is not speaking. The teacher is just observing. And that's what we have to remember. Our great teacher, the Lord, allows us to go through things. Sometimes He's trying to teach us things, but He's being silent in the process, but He's always there walking around observing. And so in those times of darkness and insecurity and loneliness and waiting on God, and you're calling out to Him, but He's not fixing the situation, and He's not doing the things we want Him to, and we begin to question His goodness. And the thing is we know that God is good, and we know that God can change the situation. But when He chooses not to, that's when it's hard. It is so hard. And we have to accept His plan during that time. And so during those times, you have to cling to Him. You have to completely rely on Him and hold on to Him dearly. Even when you don't feel Him, even when you don't see Him, you cling to Him. He is the only thing that's going to get you through it. So cling to Him. And that means you continue to read your Bible. You continue to pray. You continue to attend church. You continue to do the things even when you don't feel like it. You don't feel. And in those times of darkness, you're not going to feel like it. You're not going to feel like reading your Bible. You're not going to feel like praying. You're not going to feel like going to church. You want to be alone. You want to just hide out from everybody. But no, that's the worst thing you can do. You need to come to Him and cling to Him. All right, the second lesson I learned is not only did I cling to God, I also clinged to His promises. Man, let me tell you, that right there was a wonderful experience for me. I don't think I'd ever done that before, truly, wholly in my life, where I was to a point where I had to cling to Him and His fullness, and cling to His word and His promises. When God says He will never leave me or forsake me, well, that's His promise to me. And that's, God cannot lie. God cannot be separated from His word. So when God tells me something, I know it's true. I can put my assurance in it even when I don't feel it. And remember, feelings are not facts. So just because I don't feel like it, it doesn't mean that's true. But where I can find truth is in His word and in His promises. And He promises in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And that's His promise. And even in those times of darkness, when you feel like you're defeated, you feel like you can't go another day, you feel like there's no point, you're alone, no one cares, no one loves you, God is right there saying, no, the truth is, even though troubles come, I'm right there with you. You are not defeated because you're my child. And so clinging to his promises and holding on to the truth, and man, the truth is your weapon. The truth is what will fight the lies of the devil and expose the darkness. And it's that light that shines that we need. So cling to his promises. Find Bible verses that apply to your need and use those Bible verses to basically be your breath during that time, your prayer during that time, your backbone, your strength. And that's what I did. I found some promises that literally I would just quote every single day. I would go back to those promises. And I'll tell you, Psalms is a wonderful chapter, book of the Bible that's loaded with amazing promises of God to his faithful followers during hard times. I love that David wrote all that. It's like prayers to God that we can use for our own selves, especially when you don't have the words to say. Knowing the troubles that David went through, knowing the battles he faced. So use scripture to help you and then cling to those promises. And the way you cling to it is by you accept it, you believe it, and then you turn around and thank God for it. God, I know you haven't answered this yet, but thank you that you're going to, because your word says you will. And repeat that promise back to God. Like, I like to remind him of his promises, like he doesn't remember what they are, but I'll say, God, you said in your word. And so do that. Speak that truth back into your own life. And then next, number three, don't be afraid to examine your heart and to be honest with yourself to get to the root of the problem. A lot of times the frustration is the root to something bigger. A lot of times the moodiness is what you're seeing on the outside, but there's something a whole lot bigger going on. It's like a flower petal. When you see that beautiful flower petal, you're just seeing the top. There's a whole lot more to that flower that we don't see. We see the stem, we see the leaves, but underneath that is that root, and that root is the life of the flower. Well, just like that, there is a root somewhere in your heart that is the root of all the problems, and you've got to be able to get to the root of the problem. You can't just put a band-aid on it. You can't just ignore it. You can't sweep it under a rug, because it's going to continually to come back and fester. And that was something I tried to do. I tried to pretend, okay, today I'm going to be very positive today, and today I'm going to be great, and I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to fake it till I make it. And I would try to ignore the issues of what was really going on. And as long as I continue to ignore it and pretend like it wasn't there, well, it would just have a way of creeping back in later on. So I might have one good day, but then the next day would be awful. And so get to the root of the problem. Is the root of the problem an insecurity from a childhood? Is it a crack in your foundation, a crack that occurred, that maybe something, a mistake that you made in your life, or maybe it was something that someone put on you? Maybe it was a divorce in the family, or a rejection of a family member, or a divorce in your own life, or maybe it was an addiction. Whatever it is, get to the root of the problem and find out what that source is, and find out if this is something that the devil keeps presenting to you, that you've already gotten right with God, that you've already given to the Lord, or if it's something that you've never addressed before because it hurts. Maybe it's a sin that you need to, that God's revealing to you, and he's trying to bring you back to him, and he's trying to get your attention. So look at it and examine, and just remember that not all bad things that are going on in your life are because of sin. Sometimes it has nothing to do with you, but it might have to do with something that someone did to you, and you've never been willing to really address the situation, okay? Maybe it's forgiveness you need to offer someone. Maybe you just need to confess something. Maybe something in your life has happened and you've never admitted to it. You never told anyone, and it's eating you up. I remember one of the best things that someone told me before was, what's kept in darkness the devil has the power to bring it back up. But when it's revealed, it's brought into the light and it has no more power over you. So look, the Lord will have a way of showing you and exposing the things that you need to just open up and let go of. So do that, okay? All right, the next thing is, not only do you need to be honest and get to the root of the problem, but this goes back to clinging to his promises. When you find those promises that help you, begin to memorize them. Memorize the scripture that applies to your need, pour it into your life, pour it into your heart, and allow the Lord to change your situation and change your heart through his word. That word works in you and heals you and cleanses you in ways you will never understand. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. And that's from John 15:7. So allow his words to heal. Allow his words to do something amazing in your life. So find verses that meet your need and allow them to completely help you and heal you. Okay, not only do you need to claim the promises, you need to memorize the verses, but then you just need to trust the Lord. Trust him that he's seeing what's going on. Trust him that he will take care of it and allow him to handle it in his own way. Sometimes we want to fix it. We want to make it better today, and we're going to do all the work, and we're going to solve the problem. But in the process, we're not trusting him. So trust him. Remember, he's there, okay? He sees you. He knows where you are, and he's right there with you. So trust him with it. And then not only that, but and this is kind of a hard one, put your pride aside. Sometimes you have to completely allow yourself to be broken to allow the situation to be fixed. As long as you're pretending there's nothing wrong with me, I'm great, I'm perfect, everything's fine, and that pride continues to fester up, no, I'm not going to make this right, or no, I don't want to figure this out, or no, I don't want to do this or that, that pride will continue to stand in your way. But when you humble yourself, that humbling has a way of cracking you down to the core so that you can be healed completely by the Lord. And that's what we need. We need that healing from the Lord in those times of darkness and those times of frustrations. So here's the puzzle piece that I said. I was doing all the things, and I was putting the puzzle together, one, you know, little puzzle piece at a time, with Bible reading and prayer and scripture memory and clinging to God. So here I was trying to do the puzzle, but I was missing the centerpiece. I was like, I had the whole puzzle together, but I was missing the final piece, and that was God. I just took my hands off the situation and gave it to him. And ladies, when I gave it to him and I quit trying to be in control of the situation, that's when everything came together. When I put God in the center of it all and I just became still. And when I became still and remembered that he was God, that's when the peace began to just come in. So moms, let me tell you, you may be in a situation where you feel alone, you feel tired, you feel like nobody cares. But let me remind you, those are all lies of the devil. God does care. God knows where you are. He loves you. Put him in the center. When he is in the center, everything else will line up in place. I promise, and that's his promise, wherein he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't try to fix the puzzle without him being in the center. He's the one who makes the puzzle complete. So today, if you feel tired, alone, if you feel maybe down, maybe you feel numb, God is right there with you. Never doubt his presence. Don't doubt his goodness. And don't doubt his love for you. He's right there. Just hold on to him. Claim his promises, claim the truth that he has given to you, and then let it go. Let it go and give it over to him, and I promise you'll begin to feel the peace of God that comes with the presence of God. And what a blessing that is, that His word. Oh, His word is so sweet and so powerful, and it cleanses and it heals and it refreshes. I just heard this today that it was Jesus Christ who saved my soul, but it was the word of God that saved my mind. And again, remember, it all starts with your mind. So do something today that will help feed your mind to be healthy and strong. Okay. And then when your mind is healthy and strong, your spirit is also going to be healthy and strong as well. Well, ladies, I love you. And I thank you for tuning in to today's Mommy Meltdown. And I pray that it was a blessing to you. And I pray that God will use it to just speak truth and life into your own hearts. So blessings and joy. And I'll talk to you next time on the Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Welcome to this month's segment of the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'm author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart. Oh, but it was God putting me back together, as well as my newest release, Mind Your Business Lady, the Women Entrepreneur's Complete Guide to Doing What You Love and Getting Paid to Do It. Welcome, welcome. Hello, February. We are in our first week of February, and I don't know about you guys, but I am feeling refreshed. I'm feeling renewed. I am feeling rejuvenated, all right? 2020 and the beginning of 2021 has definitely been one hell of a year. Yes, I said it, one hell of a year, okay? We have went through so much, but guess what? We survived. We are here. So again, welcome to the What Now God radio show. I thank you so much for tuning in. It is the first Friday of the month, which is when you can catch new segments of the What Now God radio show. Look out for new topics. Look out for new guests as we tackle the question, What Now God? What do we do now in such a time as this? What do we do now as Christian brothers and sisters to help, to uplift, to support, to encourage, to inspire and motivate each other so that we can help to make this world a better place, okay? One prayer, one person at a time. So again, thank you so much. Today we're going to discuss the topic, how do you heal? How do you heal? All right. We have been through, like I said, one hell of a 2020. At the beginning of the year, we dealt with the pandemic. We're still dealing with COVID-19. We're still suffering. It's still, you know, devastating our country, devastating the world. We dealt with Black lives being taken by hired police officers who were hired to serve and protect. We have been brutalized. We have had to watch over and over deaths, starting with George Floyd, which actually wasn't the start because we know it's been going on for a long time, but something that we all had to witness on television or on social media, for those of you who actually saw it. And it has been devastating. 2020 has been a year of loss. 2020 has been a year of sorrow. 2020 has been a year that a lot of us may want to just forget, that has hurt us, that has left us feeling broken, that has left us feeling like, you know, there's no end in sight to it, have left us probably asking, why, God, why? So today we're going to discuss the topic, how do we heal? All right. And maybe you have went through something else in 2020. Maybe it wasn't just COVID and all the losses and the deaths and the sicknesses that we've experienced, not just as a country, but as families, right? Maybe you've went through other things besides having to, be on lookout or being aware of everything that was going on with Black Lives Matter, having to stand up as African American men and women to say enough is enough, right? Maybe there's personal issues that you've dealt with, relationship issues, health issues that, added on to the pain, added on to the sorrow. So we're going to discuss, how do we heal from these things? How do we move from the pain, get back to our purpose, and start prospering, okay, even in a pandemic, and start having our prayers answered, right? How do we heal? How do we feel better? How do we get better in the midst of everything that has happened in 2020, in the midst of a horrible aftermath of our 2020 election, where, we had domestic terrorism, where we watched domestic terrorists actually storm our Capitol, right? And I'm not going to get all into politics, but if you're like me, that was very emotional. That was very heartbreaking to me and devastating to see that in our country that we're still dealing with such division, such hate, such racism, right? And such panic during the pandemic and such confusion during the rollout of the vaccine, during the rollout of testing and treatment, and just basically trying to stay safe and alive. And before we go into, I'm going to share three tips that will help you heal, that will help you heal no matter what you're going through. But before we get into that, I just want to say God bless every single one who's listening, who has been sick with COVID, with coronavirus, who has loved ones who are sick or hospitalized, or maybe you were hospitalized, and especially for those who have lost loved ones due to the coronavirus or just any loss in general, because I know it's hard, okay? I know it's hard. We're all in this together, and we're all going to heal, and we're all going to get better together, God willing, and I pray to God that that we're coming out of this. We are coming out of this. God says to pray, to turn from our wicked ways, to repent, and He will hear from us in heaven and heal our land. So I invite you and I implore you to keep on praying, okay? Even if you don't see immediate results, even if it looks like it's just so dark and there's no light at the end of the tunnel, know that it is darkest before dawn and that the light is still here. The light that is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is still here. Jesus saves and God is still in control. So let's just keep going. We're going to, again, the topic for today is how do we heal? And the key word here is we, all right? Because we're all in this together. The sun shines on good and bad alike. The rain pours on good and bad alike as well, right? So we need to be mindful that we are in this together. And whether we agree, whether we disagree, or we agree to disagree about anything, whether it's who you voted for in the 2020 election, whether it's how to best handle the pandemic, whether it's what should we be on a shutdown or not? Whatever that is, I want you to know that we are all in this together. And if we heal, we'll heal together. But if we suffer, we're going to suffer together, right? So let's stop all the dividing, the division, the finger pointing, the blame game. And let's just do these three things. And if we do them, and we are an example to our loved ones, an example to our families, our friends, even the world, then I truly, truly believe that we can heal and we can change our situation for the better. So number one, the first thing that we must do if we want to heal, if we want to experience any type of healing, whether it's in this pandemic, whatever, we have to love, okay? We have to remember that the Word says, above all things, love. Love God. Love your neighbors as you love yourself, okay? And then remember what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not self-seeking. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love covers all, right? Love never fails. And let's be real. Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it is hard to love. When you're down and out, when you feel like somebody has done you wrong for no reason, when you feel like life is just unfair, right? Sometimes it's hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to show that loving kindness to others, right? Sometimes it's hard even to show that loving kindness to ourselves. And that is something that we have to be reminded of constantly, right? God is love. And if we show the love that God continues to give us every single day, every single day he wakes you up with breath in your body. Every single day he wakes you up and clothes you and feeds you. Every single day he gives you a purpose. Every single day he says, keep going, daughter. Keep going, son. You are my child. I will never leave you or forsake you. Every time he answers your prayer, that is God showing love, that unconditional love, that love like no other. And if we can just be an example, if we can just take a little piece of that love that we receive from God and pass it on to others, then guess what? I promise you the healing will begin. And then we cannot forget to love ourselves. Some of us, we're so hard on ourselves and we forget how to love ourselves. We forget about that self-love, right? We were talking about in my Facebook group, Sistars Women's Empowerment Network, which I am CEO and founder of, where I teach women entrepreneurs how to use their God-given gifts and talents to create wealth while serving others. We were talking about the love languages. And one of our members, she teaches on the 5 self-love languages. Okay, so how do you like to be loved? How do you like to show love to yourself? Do you need that quality time with yourself? Do you need to take some time out to take that bubble bath? Do you need to listen to your favorite music? Do you need to get out into nature and walk? What is it that you need to do to show yourself that loving kindness so that you'll be able to pass that on to others? Because sometimes it's so hard for us to give love to others because we've forgotten to give that same love to ourselves. All right. And if you're a giver, if you're a helper, if you're constantly looking out for others, sometimes it gets hard, right? Sometimes you can get bitter. But the antidote and the answer to that, to not getting bitter, to not get growing weary while doing good, is to take the time out to love yourself. Okay. Take the time out. Maybe you need to go to your favorite ice cream shop and grab a scoop of ice cream, right? Maybe you need to watch a comedy movie to make you smile. All of these are parts of healing. And then when we learn to love ourselves, I promise you it is so easy to love others, because now that you've given that self-love to yourself and you know what you need to make you feel better, you can send that text message to someone else to say, hey, I'm just checking on you. How are you? You can pick up that phone and make that phone call to that person who may be shut in, who may be alone, quarantined during the pandemic, to say, just checking on you. You can pick up your computer and log on to Uber Eats and send someone a meal who may be suffering through coronavirus, right? You can send someone groceries through Instacart. There are so many things that we can do to show love to others. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement to say, hey, you're going to make it. You can do it. God has not forgotten you. And sometimes it's just simple as remembering others in your prayers, right? There's so many ways that we can show love. So that's number one on how do we heal? How do we start to heal as a country, as a nation, as the world, as families, as individuals? How do we heal? You have to be willing to show love. And sometimes I get it. You're tapped out. You're frustrated. You're sad. You may be heartbroken, devastated even, okay? I get it. I have been there. Trust and believe, I have been there. There's been days when I said, God, why? Not just why me, but I'm done. You know, I've said it. I've written off people just to turn right around and pray for them. And then when I pray for them, God worked it out. Not only did God work it out, but he showed me where I went wrong and how to pray and love on people. You have to love people in spite of them, okay? You have to love people in spite of them. Sometimes we have high expectations of how people should be. And it's not to say that, people won't get on your nerves or people won't do something that you don't agree with that, like I said, makes it hard to love. But guess what? Love anyway. Love anyway. Love in spite of and love anyway. That is the first and number one step and answer to the question, how do we heal? All right. So let's move on to number two. And I hope that number one uplifted you. And I just want you to know that I love you, that God loves you. All right. God loves us in spite of us. So let's take a moment to find ways that we can show that love to others. Okay. Even the unlovable, even the seemingly unlovable. So number two, it goes hand in hand with number one. And this one, it's harder, right? And these steps that I'm sharing with you, they're not easy. Sometimes they take practice, and we know practice makes perfect. So some of these you'll have to practice. You might fail. You practice, you may do better. You practice, you may think you got it, and then you fall again and you have to remind yourself, right? But we're not going to give up. Healing is a process. So each one of these steps within the healing process, as we answer the question, how do we heal, is a process. So don't be hard on yourselves if you can't get it right away, okay? We're all growing and we're all in different steps of our growth process, okay? So number two is to forgive. Forgive. And I can speak on this all day because it's something that I have struggled with. I used to think forgiving meant I had to admit or I had to, that I was admitting that what that other person did was okay. Knowing they were wrong, wrong is two left shoes, right? But I used to really think that if I forgive somebody, then that's letting them off the hook. Or if I forgive somebody, that means that what they did to me was okay. No, no, no. That is not the case. Forgiving is actually for you. Okay. Forgiving is releasing the hurt that the action caused you. Forgiving is releasing the need for revenge. All right. Because God says, vengeance is mine. It is mine to repay. When is the last time God told you a lie? I'll wait. Right. Because God does not lie. He cannot lie. So if God says, vengeance is mine, it is mine to repay, then best believe anyone who has wronged you, all right, whether it was yesterday, whether it was today, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, okay, God is in control. God is going to repay them. It's not up to us to worry. It's not up to us to seek revenge. It's not up to us to harbor grudges. It's not up to us to harbor that pain, because when you don't forgive, that's what you're doing. You're holding on to pain. You're voluntarily holding on to pain that is hurting you. Sometimes the people that we need to forgive, the people who have wronged us, don't even know that they need to be forgiven. They don't even know that you're holding a grudge. They don't even know. And sometimes they don't even care if they do know, right? So they're not in pain. They're not suffering. Yet here you are. You're suffering. You're reliving that moment. You're reliving that issue. You're reliving what happened in the past or what they did to you. You're reliving it over and over. Every time you think about them, every time something reminds you of them, you're hurting over and over again. You can't let it go. And what happens when you're holding on to something so tight? When you're holding on to that pain so tight and your hands are clenched, your teeth are clenched, and you're holding stress. Stress is all in your body. Your hands are so tightly closed and holding on to that unforgiveness that you can't open your hands to receive the blessings that God is trying to give you. The blessing of forgiveness that is truly for you and not for the other person. So if you look at it like that, I really had to, you know, look at it in a different perspective to be able to forgive others, to be able to smile and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that pain. Thank you, God, that I'm not holding on to that offense, that hurt, as wrong as it was, as painful as it was, as hurtful as it was. Thank you, God, that I'm able to release it, that I'm able to say I forgive. And sometimes it doesn't mean, this is another thing that stops a lot of people from being able to forgive, is because we think we're supposed to forgive someone a hurt, forgive someone an offense, and then reconcile with them immediately. Sometimes the only reconciliation that's needed is saying, God, I forgive. I let that offense go. I let that unforgiveness go. Sometimes the only reconciliation that is needed is with your thoughts in your mind about how you're thinking about that person in that situation. Forgive and let go. Let go and let God. Now, some relationships, they're worth salvaging. Some relationships, God is working even now to restore. And then let's flip it. While we're talking about forgiveness and forgiving others, we may be the ones who need to be forgiven, right? We're no saints. Nobody is perfect. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, right? So we have to remember that sometimes that forgiveness, we're the ones who need it. God, forgive me for anything I've said or done that is not pleasing to you, for any way that I've hurt anybody. Forgive me, right? I say that in a prayer every single day, because sometimes we offend others, we hurt others, and we may not be aware. Sometimes we may do it on purpose because we're hurting, right? Hurt people hurt people. So we have to learn to forgive. Forgive others and forgive ourselves. And when we do that, we're way on the road of healing, okay? So that's number two in how do we heal. Number one was to love. Number two is to forgive. And number three is we have to learn to act and not react. We have to learn to act and not react. That means we're going to be proactive in our actions, and our actions are going to be positive. Our actions are going to be results driven. Our actions are going to be wrapped in love, wrapped in forgiveness. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every single word that's said to us that may hurt us or offend us. We're not going to allow ourselves to react to every trick of the enemy. The devil is working. Him and his minions are out here. They're trying to get your attention, get my attention. They're trying to divide. The devil comes for what? To steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's trying to steal your blessings. He's trying to kill your dreams. He's trying to destroy your destiny. And how does he do that? He does things, he sends situations, people, that causes us to react. So instead of acting as God-fearing, loving women and men of God, children of God, we just react. Someone throws something at us, we immediately react and throw it back. Someone steps on our toes, we step on their toes, but a little bit harder, right? We cannot afford to constantly react to everything that's going on around us, everything that's going on in this world, everything that you see on the media, you know, everything that you hear. We cannot afford to keep reacting. We have to learn to be proactive and to take positive action so that we can see change, whatever that positive action may be, right? Being leaders instead of followers, loving on each other instead of hating each other, forgiving even the unforgivable, right? And once we do all of those three things, once we learn to love, once we learn to forgive, once we learn to not react to every negative thing that comes our way, I promise you that healing will take place. And it's a beautiful thing. And Oh my God, I can't believe our time is up right now, but I just want to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in to the What Now God radio show. We're on first Fridays of every month. My name is Cheryl Woods. I am your host, and I just appreciate you and love you so much. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.